today. Oh, I can do it to music too. I'm jam out. Okay with that. Hey, so once again, you guys allowed me to take your kids for a week. It is one of the highlights of my year. So on this Father's Day, I get to get out of the way and let you guys hear what our Heavenly Father did for all 29 out of the 30 people who went, me being number 30, want to talk to you, but we had to cut it down. And so we picked 10 kids to come up and speak to you guys about what this trip meant to them and how the Lord helped them grow this week. So we are going to jump right to it. Well, before we jump right to it, you may be wondering, what is this dirty piece of driftwood doing sitting on the stage? This is at one of the cleanup sites. They're having to clean up trails, and Kobe Clark and Parker from one of the churches in Ohio brought this back, and all of the kids who are from the church in Ohio signed this, and that's going to go in the youth room. But we wanted our Liberty Chapel friends to be with us to help share this morning. So we're going to start with Evan Smith.
Thank you. Sorry, Murph. So this was my third trip. By the way, for those of you that don't know, I'm Barbara and Josh Smith's son over there. You can wave bigger. This was my third mission trip, but this one was different for me. This one changed my perspective of things, and oh, did it throw me out of my comfort zone. First of all, my perspective changed of the younger guys, the middle school guys, because day one, we're in the van, I'm tired, it's 3 a.m, and I don't know what in the world they're listening to, but they're listening to something crazy. And I'm like, can I make it through this week? Am I going to make it? And I thought these guys were the hyperest, they were the craziest. By the end of the week, that's not at all what I thought. I'm going to use my brother, isn't it? Where is he? Jack? Oh, I'm going to use my brother as an example. This was his first mission trip. I've always known him as this goofy little dork. And just this crazy guy. By the end of the trip, I saw he had matured so much. He was already really mature, but now he has matured so much more. He's really gotten a servant's heart, and I just really enjoyed watching him grow like that. I'm also going to use Ian Vandeveer. Wave, Ian. Thank you. That kid's a pastor's kid, and you can tell. He can preach things better than Andy sometimes. Sorry, Andy. Bible says don't lie. The kid, before this trip, I thought the most wisdom he could spit out was how to win at Fortnite. But by the end of it, I realized he has so much wisdom built up in there, and he can really spout off some knowledge. And that was awesome to see. And I mean, it was the same with all the other guys and little girls and big girls, little girls, all of them. I don't know about the big guys. Just kidding. Also, I was not only thrown out of my comfort zone like I have been the past mission trips, I was completely launched out. The two jobs that I never really wanted to do in the past mission trips was elderly home and kids club. Both of my jobs. So, first one was the elderly home, and the day one was a little awkward, but once we got to know them a little bit, it was a lot of fun. I got beat up in Domino's every single day. And kids club, they literally beat me up, but it was fun to be thrown out of that comfort zone and know that I can work in those environments. And I just thank God that I actually made it through all that. That was awesome. And so I am so thankful I got to go on this trip and see all these people just grow in a way that I didn't know they could have or I could have seen. And I'm just so thankful to God that you guys sent me there. Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, so hi, I'm Morgan. For those of you who don't know me, I belong to Jeff and Kelly Kelbley. So So this was also my third mission trip, and this one really proved something to me that I kind of already knew but didn't really pay attention to. So this mission trip really pointed out that, or just how much pain people can hide. Like, some examples, some people from our group shared that you would never expect. The people who were always happy, or the people who you would never expect to have certain issues, when they shared, it made you realize how much they had been hiding and for how long they had been hiding it. Like, people that you see every Sunday and people that you may see in your day-to-day life, how much pain they had. But nobody would have ever guessed. And this was also proof to me. I worked at a kids' club for the first 2 days, and those kids, you know, they're so excited when you get there, and they all run up and they all want to hug. And like, this one little girl ran up to me and she was like, "You're mine. I claim you." I was like, okay. But they're so excited, and they just have this childlike innocence and their happiness. And you would never think that the pain that they have, because most of them don't have great home lives, and most of them have been through situations that I can't even imagine. But you never would have thought when you get there, because they're so happy and they're running around and you play tag and you do crafts and you make bracelets, and you never would think of how much pain they go through. And so this kind of correlates with day-to-day life, because there are people who I see in the hallway every single day. There are people, well, it's summer, but during the school year, there are people who I see in the hallway every single day. There are people who I used to go to class with every single day, and it makes you kind of wonder what the people in your day-to-day life are hiding. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, that's my daughter, Kelly Kelbley, Kalisha, K-Dog, DJ Kelly, Mama K. So we've been at Faith Bible for a few years, and if you've watched me, as Casey put it, I tend to be a bit guarded, like yesterday. I do not love easily, but I love fiercely. When I was 17 years old, I made a decision that I would not be hurt again, that I don't hug, I don't cry. And y'all, I Dan Marshall cry now. like all the time. The slideshow comes up and I'm crying. I'm like, no, stop. We went through several hundred boxes of Kleenex this week, and about 400 of them, like, they were mine. This church, we're going to start there. So if, whether it's your first Sunday or you've been here for years, this church loves you unabashedly and unashamed and fiercely. And that was so evidenced through your children that you have sent forth to do God's work this week. I did not want to go on the trip. I absolutely did not. When Merv said he needed an adult leader, I was like, no. I didn't do that. And so for the next, like, several months, I mean, because that was back in February, I was sick about the decision. And I know, turn it over, give it to God. I just couldn't. I did not want to do it. about a month ago, I went to brunch with Dan, and I was like, God has had my heart in a vice grip for months, and then especially now. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he's like, but you do. It's that, and you know Dan, he's like, but you do. And he's crying and laughing all at the same time. And like the waitress comes up, we're at Cracker Barrel, and he's crying. I'm like, yeah, we just broke up. It's a little bit awkward. And she's like, oh girl, he's here every day. He cries every day. Yeah. And I didn't know it. I honestly thought that it was just going to be more and more months of just hurt. I didn't realize that it was that moment that God, and not that moment, obviously, it had always been designed, but at least for me, that the plan had begun to be revealed. And so Sunday, we leave for the trip, and it's fun. I mean, we had several thousand miles of playlists and feet and farts and just everything. And so we got there Sunday night, and I don't know how long this is going to be, and I'm so sorry. Like, Merv is very strict, guys. He is very serious about his schedule. So I'm going to try, but I'm all about pushing Merv out of his comfort zone. So anyway, we get there Sunday night, and that night, after everybody had gone to bed, I was still just so unsure. But it just, like, the whole simplistic message of give it to God was just what kept washing over me. And I was like, you know what, if nothing else, like, I will be the best chaperone here. Like, I'm going to give my all at the service sites and be here for these kids. And that's my goal. I am here to be a chaperone. And so Monday morning, our first service site was to go. There were a lot of pictures on the slideshow of the YMCA Food and Fun. And what that does is it's an organization that feeds 4,000 kids in Hamilton County every single day, breakfast and lunch. The national average for children that go hungry each summer is 1 in 6. That county, it's 1 in 4. They feed 6,000 kids a day, but 4,000 out of this one site. And every day, one of your children went to this site and prepared those meals. And it just, that morning, I mean, it was 3 solid hours. And so for the kids in my group, Evan and Emma Grace and Kobe, that was our very first work of the week, and it hit us like a ton of bricks. Like, that was our purpose, right? Truly a greater good, a greater service. And so by that night, I was like, okay, God, I'm getting this. I'm a little slow, but I'm starting to pick up on it. And then by Tuesday night in our church group, Wednesday night in our church group, these children taught us so much. There were so many moments that the four of us would look at each other like, why are we even here? They don't need us. Yeah, Ian Vanderveer is like just spitting wisdom. Evan, Will, I mean, all of them. And it was absolutely beautiful. I am 42 years old, and I am just now getting it. What they already have at 14, 15, 16 years old. They used words like loneliness, hurt, doubt, unworth, and vulnerability. Kobe's not here to talk today, so I will steal his word. Kind of like Morgan just said, we all, but especially me, learned, be vulnerable with each other. We all have those hurts. We all have that pain. But God is there in every ugly, beautiful moment of it. And so, thank y'all for allowing me to go, even when I didn't want to, and even when I was so unsure. And thank y'all for loving me so far out of my comfort zone. And now, evidently, I'm a hugger and a crier. So, thank y'all.
Okay, so, hey y'all, I'm Kendall. This is about to fall over. So I kind of wrote mine down, so I'm sorry if it kind of like sounds like a speech because I have to get my thoughts together because when I talk in front of a crowd, I kind of get a little nervous. So I'm just going to read what I have. Okay. So a few years ago, I had a conversation with Merv about where's my sign because I was struggling with seeing God's works and his presence. A few years ago, I thought my life was a mess, but I had no idea what God had planned for me this past year leading up to my last Youth Works mission trip as a student. I questioned God a lot. So much recently that I doubted to even come on this trip this year because I thought, what was the point? But God had other plans for me. Throughout the past 3 years, I've been looking for my big billboard sign saying that God was with me and hearing my prayers. But come to find out, I was just looking too hard. The past week has been a total game changer for me. I have felt God working through me and others like I have never had before. I had God tell me that this trip wasn't about me and my problems this year. He gave me so much strength and courage to be okay with the struggles that was happening to me in the moment and gave me the dedication and positive mindset to focus on the people who he had called me to help. Come to find out that my testimony would help more people open up about their personal life than I have ever realized. This was my mission this past week. God didn't put me on this mission trip because of me this year. It was to serve others in more ways than one. From the new and old friends from Ohio that I connected with, to newfound common struggles through Friends of the Faith Bible Youth, to talking to rowdy little kids at a summer school, God had a purpose for everything. I had never felt so much of God's presence more this past week than I ever have in my whole life. Even though God had told me it wasn't about me this week, he still showed me his unconditional love and care through so many different people, and his works made me realize that he is always here for me, standing right by my side. And it couldn't have come at a better time. I was so lost in my relationship with the Lord and life, just wanting to give up on everything, but God had other plans for me. All these struggles I have faced in life at such a young age, now all of them had a purpose. God is truly amazing. There are people that I had no idea that needed to hear my story to show that they are not alone. And this past week, God gave me the courage to tell it. Our theme this year for the mission trip was Onward. What I took from that was that I had to quit living in the past, because in the past was hurt, anger, and resentment. Moving onward in life and my walk with Jesus. Focus on him and what he wants me to do with my future, because he doesn't care about my past anymore, so why should I? I had to put everything I had on my shoulders and say a million times over and over again, Lord, I need you. And finally, I was free this past week. Free from my past, all of my hurt and anger in the past was vanished. That was my sign. Come to find out, we try to look so hard at the big picture that we don't really realize what we have right in front of us. God had given me plenty of signs. I just finally had to open my eyes and see that he was standing right in front of me this whole time. And I couldn't have been more content with my life at this present moment. I am finally free because of God's loves, and chances are never ending.
Howdy. My name is William Scheringer. I am Brian and Jamie's son. Where are you? They're in the back. This was my first mission trip. There are no words to describe how incredible and fun it was. I'm just like Kendall. I like to take notes or just write, and I tend to be nervous. But when I was told that I was going on this mission trip, I didn't know what to expect. I was nervous and a little bit scared. But what comforted me was that I knew God had me in his hands and he would take care of me. After the super long and fun ride, we arrived in Tennessee. When I stepped in the church, I immediately felt welcomed and loved. The other church that was there were from Ohio, and I can't explain how sweet and friendly they were. I've made so many great friends that week and so many great memories. One of my favorite memories this week was when my group that I was in were at a kids club called Glenwood helping out. And these boys came up to me and they asked me if I wanted to play with them. And so of course I did. And they told me what to do a lot. And I was like thinking about it and like, this is the only time they have like control in their lives. They're probably they don't have the freedom to do stuff. And it just made me sad because they're probably abused and hated and not loved, and there's nothing they can do about it. But like, as I thought, like, there is something we could do about it. I could do about it. Our church can do about it. And all I have to do is love them and pray to God. Another favorite memory is when our church talked in a group about life and problems that we all faced. And that night was very special and emotional, and I feel like we all grew closer to each other and to the Lord. But one of the most important things about that night to me is that I opened up, and I haven't done that in a long time. And it felt so good because I needed to let it all out. And I'm so thankful and so blessed that my friends helped me out. Over this week, I felt like I've learned a lot, but one thing that stood out is that God's grace and His love is endless. No matter who you are and what you've done, He loves you so much, and there's nothing you could do about it. A verse that's really helped me this week is... gotta find it real fast. Romans 6:14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So that verse really helped me this week. Honestly, just all to add it up, this mission trip was life-changing for me, and I'm so thankful I went with my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm definitely looking forward towards next year. Thank you.
I'm Estella Braswell, and I belong to these kids and these kids and these people. Every year, I think I'm going to go on this trip to be the driver. And every year, there's so many hats I get to wear. The theme of this week was, "You broke me." The first thing that I picked up on, I got to work in the kids' center. And going along with what Morgan said about the brokenness that these kids carry, the pain that they have inside, that you just don't know what has happened to them. It was a little girl who caught my attention. She had hair half in braids, half ratty, ratty t-shirt, ratty shorts, and a little scowl on her face. She could have been maybe 6 years old. And I wanted to win her over. And I would call her over to me. I'd go and I'd put my arm around her, and she would just kind of shrug me off. And I was just like, what has caused her so much pain? What has she gone through that would make her just sit here so stone-faced? So it was my mission to get her to love me back, because I needed her love as much as she needed mine, and she didn't know it. By the end of that day, she broke a smile. She came over and put on these little headphones over my ears, and she giggled because it was some kind of garbled music, and she knew my reaction would be funny. And so that's what I left with that day, and came back to the church, and I shared with the kids about this little girl who I just wanted to see her again. The next time we went there, she ran to me and gave me the biggest hug, and I was just like, okay, we've got this together. This little girl sat me down and she asked me if she could braid my hair. Have y'all ever seen little black girls' hair? They have the most beautiful braids, but their pain tolerance is incredible. She was pulling right here, and I had a tear roll down my face. I was like, I'm good, I'm good. one of the pictures was of Kamonte with, you know, the pipe cleaners going through his hair that they had done his hair. So that was beautiful in itself, and I got to meet a lady in a nursing home. I was given this weird task. I was supposed to go into patients' rooms, and they gave me a questionnaire, and I didn't really like this. Actually, I was kind of mad. I was like, why would you ask me to go into these people's rooms and ask them personal questions like, are you happy with the facility? Are they treating you right? Are you resentful? And I'm like, I don't know them. I want to get to know them, but not this way. And the second day I went in there, I was like, I'm going to make the most out of this. And I went into this woman's room. Thank God this woman could actually hear me. I didn't have to yell at her. And she didn't fall asleep on me as I was asking the questions. And I would ask her the questions, and I got to the part, are you married, widowed, divorced? And she says, I'm divorced. Come to find out, she was married to somebody for 15 years, and they were divorced. Then she was married to somebody for 31 years, and they were divorced because he had called her one day and said, I found somebody else, and he just took off. And I held her hand, and I was like, you are a strong woman, and I love you. God loves you, and he's had you this whole time. You know that, right? She says, yes, ma'am. I love him. She told me about her daughter who had committed suicide a year before. The night before, we, you know, our kids just struggled with self-worth. And I told her that. I said, some of our kids are really struggling with the worth. They don't see it. And the pain that came over her face, this is what I want y'all to know. This is a stranger to you. And the pain that came over her face when I told her that you struggled with knowing your worth, she was like, you tell them. I said, we have. During church time at night, the best way that I can describe what happened to us as a group, and I include myself, Kelly, Casey, Merv. We came in as a seemingly whole piece, as a seemingly perfect whole piece. And as the days progressed, we were broken pieces, shattered all over the floor. One kid would share, another kid would speak, I would go, don't believe those lies. By the end of the week, we became a beautiful mosaic of each other's pieces. And we're now whole. Thank you for sharing your babies with me. They are wise beyond their years, and we have learned so much from them. And keep sending them. Keep sending them on, because they are doing amazing things and building relationships with one another that will last forever. And I love you guys so much. Thank you.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, I'm Trey. Dan and Denise Marshall are my parents. I don't know where to start. This trip was amazing for me. Unlike Ken 11, I didn't write anything down, but that's okay. We'll see how this goes. It completely changed my mind on a lot of things. The work sites were really fun. We got to make food for children and just love on them, which was great. And then the main thing that I took away was this group was just, it impacted me a lot, and also y'all guys. It was really cool, as people has already said, the vulnerability we had in the group. They just shared about how life can suck and life's hard. Life can hurt a lot. And it's true, like, life, like, without Jesus just sucks. Even if you're not, even just like a normal, you know, you're not for Jesus, but you're just walking and he's kind of a way that even that just sucks. So this past year have been, that's kind of how I've been. Maybe read my Bible like once a month, maybe. I don't know. Not really pursuing God at all, just trying to get through school. And it wasn't the funnest year. It wasn't super hard, but it still just kind of sucked. And as Jesus was kind of just missing. And so, on the trip, though, once with everyone just sharing and loving each other, Jesus's love was just spreading through everyone, and it felt really good. I remember, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Wednesday night, but everyone was just crying, and I couldn't stop smiling. I had like a stupid grin on my face because I was just so happy. But then I got blindsided. I don't know if it was Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night. It was after our church group time. Merv had told us all we have to be in bed by this time, or he probably didn't because he just lets Jesus tell us when to go to bed, basically, which is I like a lot about Merv. It's great. I guess I just wanted to feel more love and acceptance from my peers, and like it was satisfying, that love, for a while. And I went and, I don't know, I haven't told everyone, but I went and sat with, like, I think it was Will, Tate, come on, Tate, Carson, and some Ohio people, and they were just sharing, and I kind of sat on the edge. I was kind of like the outsider, because they were better friends than I was, and, but all of a sudden, I was just blindsided by, like, a little bit of pain and, like, the loneliness feeling we're talking about. And then God just kind of hit me. He was like, told me that what I needed most was his love and his acceptance, not my peers. I was just all of a sudden like blindsided. I'd been going, like, the trip had been really great. I'd been, it was fun. I'd been happy, and then I just had these weird emotions, and I was really confused. And so I've been sharing about this doubt. I've, like, the past year was just kind of like the I believe helped me with my unbelief sort of phase, and just on the fence about everything, more like just observing life and not really going one way or another. And so I went, and I just kind of, I got it from the group because I needed to deal with God then and not with others. And I kind of banged my head against the wall somewhere by myself, I remember. And I just asked myself, I was like, why don't I believe what I know is true? And it's such a weird statement, but I just didn't understand. Like, it seems like it should be such an easy concept. And so we had done, like, some little lip sync battles the other day. It was really fun. But I had left, like, a sheet or a blanket in, like, the sanctuary where we did them. And so I went into the sanctuary to go grab, like, a sheet or something for bed. And then there was, like, some people in there still talking who had, like, finished after their church group time. I think it was, like, Kobe and then his friend Parker. And, like, I got my blanket or whatever. But then I went and sat down next to them. I was like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. I was like, this is just what I didn't want to do at the time. And so, like, there was a Bible. And so I went and grabbed it, and here's one right here. And I was like, I'll just talk with God right now, see what he has to tell me. And I've been kind of reading my Bible a bit before the trip. I started in Matthew, like, a long time ago, and it's just been going right. And, like, right before the trip, I finished 2 Peter. So it was 1 John. I just picked up where I had left off, and God just kind of talked to me. So right from the beginning, I'll just kind of summarize this. John is just talking about testifying Jesus, basically saying, like, what he has seen with his own eyes, touched with his own hands, heard with his own ears, or whatever. And that was God saying to me, I am real, even if you don't believe it. I am sometimes, if you struggle with doubt. And then I kept reading, and then the third verse, I was like, that's when I was really started getting, like, emotional. It was pretty, like, a smelly mess, and it was just, God was like, said something like, John's talking about the fellowship with each other, and then he says, like, true fellowship is with God and his son Jesus Christ. And that was God saying, like, just reaffirming that his love is what I need the most. Fellowship is great, and it's helpful to point you to him, and his love and acceptance is what I need. And I was like, yes, I know that, but I don't believe it, and I don't know why. I want to believe badly. And then I just read a little bit more, and then it was something along the lines of how those who follow his command, know him, follow his commandments, and something like that. And that's when all the pieces just kind of clicked together, and God made me ask, like, how well do I know him? Like, I know him, but how well do I know him? Like, you don't believe in someone you don't know. You don't trust a stranger. And that's when God just hit me. He's told me to get to know him. And he's like, do what you're doing now. Read your word. Get to know me so you can believe in me. And so that was my big takeaways, was we always kind of talk about how to, like, keep our drive for the mission trip when we get home. And I think that those are the answers, is that vulnerability. We got to, like, share with each other and keep each other real and accountable. And then just the reason we get that is because Jesus' presence is all around us. And if we wanted to keep going, we have to, we can find that in his word. I mean, Andy, my dad, people tell me, just read all the time. And it's true, because that's where you get, you know, your, it's where you get to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you won't believe in his satisfaction and his promises and his truth. So that was my big takeaway. Thank you.
Okay, hi, my name is Cameron, and I just want to share with y'all basically the major takeaway or big reoccurring truth that I got from this trip. So my major takeaway is that I did not have a major takeaway. And on past trips, I've always felt like God has put on my heart one truth or a reoccurring theme that I have been able just to get up here and to share with y'all. But on this trip, I will be honest with y'all, when Merv asked me to speak, I hesitated because I thought, oh, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And so when I got home, I voiced this concern to my dad, and he told me what I'm about to tell y'all. And that is that service does not always lead to revelation. In fact, like, we are the body of Christ, and we are called to, and we were designed with the purpose to glorify the kingdom, and the most prominent way of doing so is through service. And so the service projects that I was assigned on this trip included a kids club, where we got to interact with and we got to play with tons of adorable little kids, and also the YMCA food bank, where we got to make thousands of meals. Now, there's absolutely no doubt in my heart that God was working through each of these activities. But I personally didn't feel God putting one major theme or truth on my heart. I mean, I could feel Christ's love as we poured out into these kids, since some of them were coming from extremely rough and poor households that I can never begin to imagine or empathize with. And I could really feel God's benevolence and his grace as we prepped those meals that were then going to be distributed throughout the community. But no strong feeling struck out to me. And I just felt the average joy that a person gets from serving. I didn't really feel that mission trip high. And so at first I thought that it was my fault and that something was wrong with me. And so I thought maybe my motives for coming on this trip were wrong. Or maybe I wasn't engaged enough in our activities. Or maybe I simply just wasn't working hard enough. And to be honest, in a way, I started to panic a little bit about that. Because I didn't feel like I was being moved or led in a certain direction at all. But now, standing in front of y'all, I've realized that I have come to terms with the fact that service and missions is our purpose, and it is God's calling for us in this life. We were created to be Christ's example and his replica. And in the Great Commission, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. I mean, he is with us always. It says so. But what I came to terms with, what I realized, is that does not mean he will always talk directly to us. And you know what? That is perfectly okay. Because glorifying and furthering the kingdom through service and missions, that does not have the sole purpose of revealing more of Christ to me. But it does, however, have the purpose of revealing Christ to others, because we are setting his example. So if you serve and you do not feel God pouring into you, please don't stop serving. And I just, because he is still working mightily through you, so I ask that you continue to just push through that. And I believe Oswald Chambers says it best when he says, I must realize that my obedience, even in the smallest detail of life, has all the omnipotent power of the grace of God behind it. If I will do my duty, not for duty's sake, but because I believe God is engineering my circumstances, then, at the very point of my obedience, all of the magnificent grace of God is mine through the glorious atonement of the cross of Christ. So I just want to leave y'all with these words, that even in his silence, he speaks volumes. Thank y'all.
Okay, well, thanks for that setup, Cameron Endler. Drop the mic now. As you can see, this the adults, we received this every night from all of your kids. This spirit-anointed word out of each one of them from this pure place. And man, I'm so glad that Merv missed that header in the spreadsheet, because that's the only way I got on the trip. A guy who does spreadsheets for a living and knows them front and back missed the header count, and there was one extra go. And so I got called in last minute as an adult leader, and same with K-Dog. Did not really want to go. I the only reason I wanted to go is because my daughter was the youngest on the trip, and I knew she was going to really be stressing out and a lot of anxiety, and I wanted to go to be there as her little safety blanket. And so I went. And then we're at 2 a.m. getting in the van, and they say, hey, you're riding with Merv for 12 hours. I'm like, okay. Really dragging out the test of faith here. Because Merv and I had maybe spoken 1 minute with each other in the year that we'd been here. I don't know that we'd had a full conversation. And hey, you're going on a 12-hour drive now in a van with a bunch of kids. And so, man, I cannot wait to tell you. Okay, let me share this word with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, is the word that God was speaking in my heart and that I think really sums up where we were this week. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I saw so many degrees of glory being unveiled this week. And I thank you, parents, for allowing your kids to come. And if you're anything like me as a parent, you're thinking, what in the world did they say? What in the world did they say? Please, Lord, let them not say anything as a reflection of me as their parents. And I just want to put you at ease to know that every single one of your children spoke in the most respectful, honoring, gracious way about their struggles, and yet very openly, very vulnerably. For the first time, I knew a time would come in my life that I would talk openly in front of my own daughter about some things that I'd experienced as a teenager. I did not know that time would come in front of a bunch of her peers and teenage students. My daughter knew some of the trauma that I'd been through as a teenager, but I felt Wednesday night was my night to lead, and I just felt, hey, I really got to share this story with my people. So I told them about my traumatic experience as a 15-year-old girl enduring a rape experience, and mainly so that they could understand what true freedom really looks like and feels like. In the unveiling of my story and some of my deepest hurt and deepest pain and deepest bitterness, they came into that place with me. It then was just a chain reaction of people opening up because one person went first and another person and another person, and our hearts were truly just being set free because we saw the freedom that each one had simply in confessing and bringing things to the light. And man, as we all together began to bring things to the light, it was just this chain reaction of freedom. And my main take home for them was not the traumatic experience of itself, but that I had gone years, even into my adult life, hanging on to so much bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, thinking that I was punishing the man, you know, bringing him to justice somehow by holding him on the hook in my heart. And so I grabbed everything that was in arm's reach. There was tissues, lots of used tissues. We will talk about that later. A coffee mug, a Bible, a book, you know, a thermos, whatever it was. And I just grabbed it and I said, look, Jesus, we as people want to take all of this pain and all this hurt and this sin, and we want to put it in our periphery. And so I pieced it out and I said, and this is how, you know, men look at you, or you want to look at yourself, is that your pain and your hurt or your shame and your fear of rejection is in pieces like this, but you can still see it. And then I grabbed all of it and put it in the middle of the room, and I put it onto my chest and just started piling it onto my person. But Jesus took all of it, absorbed all of it. And when you realize that he doesn't just cast it out over here in your periphery or over here, he takes it upon himself and he literally absorbs it into his blood. And through that gives you life and freedom. Then you can forgive. Then you can obey because you no longer need those things from anyone. It sets you free. And man, it was what God did in that moment. But then every night was the same. Just this outpouring, and where one of us was weak. So that night I was weak because I had just told this really personal story to some of the students being strangers to me, and Faith Bible being a 2-year home for us, and going, oh man, what's going to happen? And I'm just telling you, I would have Tate or Kamate, Morgan, Sarah come up and wrap their arms around me. Miss Casey, thank you so much for sharing that story. I needed to hear this part, and I needed to hear this part. And man, it was free. My hashtag, we all had our hashtags for the week, and mine was take it, because I wanted the kids to know that this whole thing, God is completely covered. Your sin, past, present, and future, has been covered, and all we have to do is take it. We just have to take it each and every day, again and again and again. We have in full measure every resource that we need. And I'm glad that's my hashtag. And I'm glad that we can say that. Just take it, take it, take it. And it was contagious because a lot of the other churches there had other adult group leaders. One in particular was a dear older gentleman partnered with Estella named Spike. Spike is exactly what you would picture a Spike to be. In his late 70s, I think he sat in a chair in the corner the whole time. Except when we were together in adult group, he would share a little bit with us. But he is from a town of, 1,000 people. He's been on this trip, I think, 11 times. He loves the students, and here's why, because I got to talking to him the next night after I shared my story. We went to eat ice cream, and Spike and I got stuck at the ice cream waiting for the last kid to get to the bus, so we got to walk together. And Spike said, you know, Casey, I just want you to know I really enjoyed watching your group this week. He said, I don't know that I've ever experienced anything like this group. And I've been in church, the same church. I 78 years old is what I think he said. I'm 78 years old. I've been in the same church my whole life in a town of 1,000 people. And it's really difficult. And I go on these trips, not because I really like kids that much. I go on this trip because I want to go back and tell all these people who think that it's this way and it can only be this way that our kids are teaching us. And I want to be more like you guys. I want to be more vulnerable. I mean, your kids, they're hugging and talking and loving. And I want my old people back in this church to know that we've got to pour into these kids because they're the next leaders. And we got to tell them our stories. And we got to be vulnerable like they are and be free like they are. And then this, I'm going to leave you with this because it's exactly what he said to me. And it was one of the most profound statements for the week. Spike said, "You know what you guys do? You really fill each other's gaps." Man, I looked at Spike and said, yeah. And may the church be this. May the church fill each other's gaps. These students did this all week long, over and over and over, where one was weak, one was strong, when one was crying, one was hugging. I mean, it was Faith Bible. What a gift. What a gift we have here. Let's be this. Let's continue to fill each other's gaps. Thank you. Thank you for letting me go.
There we go. I'm loving the pep rally. I know we're supposed to end in 5 minutes, but I need, like every year, I need you guys to hear from these people that aren't an elder and aren't a paid pastoral staff so that you understand the power and the importance and the things that God does on these trips. And I need you to hear, and I love the fact that we had two new moms who were completely and totally meant to come on this trip. So that they can help share. And next year I will have to take resumes and do interviews because I'm expecting that there's going to be like 5 or 6 more of you that say, okay, I want to come on this trip. But it's great. It's going to be a great problem to have adults who want to share this experience with a group of kids who we all to a person say, I was not in this place when I was their age. I was nowhere as knowledgeable about the Bible, as in tune with what God wants me to do in my life. So it is amazing to watch these kids, and it's something that we have special going on here. I do want you to turn, please, quickly to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. This is where the theme verse was verse number 6, but I wanted to read just a little bit because you guys have heard from the kids and from the awesome moms. They wanted me to not call them the team moms because they thought I was saying teen moms, and that was not the message that I wanted to convey. So Philippians 1, I'm going to start in verse 3. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So that was part of this theme was that God's going to complete a good work in you. And man, this is going to be weird not having the wireless mic because I don't like standing still. So There it is. One of the issues that we have in this youth group and that we have as a church family, and not just at Faith Bible Church, but everywhere, is that we don't believe that. Trey said it great. Like, I know this is true, but I don't believe that God's got grace for me. I don't believe that I'm worthy for God to complete this good work in me. And the crazy thing is, like, we took that victory when all of us who prayed to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we believed the Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we believed it in that moment that we were unworthy and terrible, but God still loved us. But then something happens after we become a Christian, and when we sin, we think we're not worthy, and that we can't do these awesome things, and that we don't think God loves us, and we don't think God can finish the work in us. But he was doing the work for us even before we believed in him. There's a couple things that I want you guys to know, and you saw it here this morning. We cannot go anymore as a church, and I know a lot of us are working on this, and Dan and the elders do a great job of saying, hey, we need small groups, we need people to build relationships. I need every one of you to understand, it's okay to not be okay. You don't have to just talk about the weather. You don't have to, when somebody says, how you doing, you don't have to say, I'm fine. Because 50 I'm fines is not going to do anything. The one time that you stop and look at somebody and I say, hey, Brian, I really do have something I need to talk to you about. And sometimes it's going to take you being the first one to realize that if I open up to Chris Lyon, that he says, oh, Merv, trust me. Merv can be vulnerable and open to me. Now I can share what's really going on in my life. I don't have to keep this veil that everything's going great. And then we can be brothers together and grow stronger in Christ. I need you guys to understand that it's okay at Faith Bible Church with your brothers and sisters to not be okay. I also need for the parents, you saw how open that these kids were. They were wondering, well, what happens when we go home? And I asked them, I asked our friends at the Ohio Church, I said, when you've ever opened up with a struggle or a hurt or, you know, anything that you're going through, when you're in school, or as us as adults, people are always looking for something they can use against us, a way they can call us a hypocrite or a way to put themselves better. But the kids to a person said, anytime I've shared anything, nobody in Faith Bible Church youth group has ever used that against me. We need to show that amongst each other so that our kids can see more modeling of that. And one of the things that I have to do as a parent, and one of the things I want to encourage you guys is, yes, if our kids do something, there's discipline that we have to give, but we do not need to use their hurt and their struggle as a club against them 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road. Because if we're doing that, we want our kids to share with us, but why am I going to open up and be vulnerable to you if what I see in your action is that you're going to hold that over me? And we are the example of what our kids are seeing of what God, that Jesus example. So what are they seeing? We're trying to show, hey, God loves you. God gives grace. God is going to forgive you. But if we allow our kids to open up to us and then we use that as a club against them to lord it over them, we're never going to have our kids sharing with us. And we don't want that to happen. We want our kids to feel just like with their friends, that they can be open and honest, that they can be open and honest with us so that we can help them grow. That's really the main thing I want us to take away from this, is that we can take what this awesome, infectious love that God has for us, and we can put it into practice on a daily basis. And I know that there's people that come to this church and they say, there's something different about y'all because I feel loved here. Let's just make sure that we're doing that with everybody, not just the new folks. Let's do that with each other every day. And if there's somebody that you've seen here that's been here for 3 years, but you don't know their name, it's okay to walk up to them and go, man, I'm sorry, I don't know what your name is. Because there's, with the Kelbleys, with the Van Normans, been here for years. We had one conversation with each other, and I've missed out on so much. And I don't want to do that. And I think there's stuff that we all have to offer each other. So I want to read it one more time, and I don't want you guys to think of this as the church at Philippi. Truly open yourself up, and this is Paul, and this is God's words to you. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you.